Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr., and you're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. I'm so glad that you joined us today. I do hope that you will stay tuned to our program today because we have a wonderful message by Pastor Wentley Phipps and some very, very inspiring music that you are sure to enjoy. Today's message is going to be the beginning of a two-part series. And if you've been listening to The More Abundant Life, you understand that Pastor Phipps has been speaking on various characters in the Bible. Today, he's going to talk about David, one of the stories of David from the Bible. So stay tuned. This is The More Abundant Life. Just before we get to our message, though, here is some music for you. This is from the CD entitled Savior, and we're going to hear the duet by Wentley Phipps and Larnell Harris, My Heart Belongs to You.
Dancing for a sun that warms the morning sky. Who will know the beauty of my earth? Sense the joy and wonder of its birth. Who will see the glory of the world that I have made? And who beside me in the garden, in the coolness of the day. Creation's glorious song that comes from my heart expresses strains of love. Thank you. mystery that soars within my soul. And we can feel the summer wind that moves across the water as it flows. This wondrous paradise and all that you see
that comes from my heart could never
express the strength
of joy when you're here with me.
But only in part, the message of my song will always be true.
The words that are true
may call
to hear
my heart belong to.
The song is entitled My Heart Belongs to You, and it's from the CD release entitled Savior, the story of God's passion for his people. That's Larnell Harris and Wintley Phipps with the duet there. You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. We are going to begin our message now for today, the spoken message by Pastor Wintley Phipps on the subject of David. Here's Pastor Phipps now with today's message.
You've got your Bibles with you. Turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. I can't get out of the Faith Hall of Fame, church. I'm going to be speaking on another one of the heroes in God's Faith Hall of Fame. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. Bible says, and in verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. She came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. Brothers and sisters, my message today, David, a man of faith and repentance. There are in the scriptures some very dark and solemn and sobering chapters. Chapters that make us tremble, and yet chapters that give us hope as human beings. One of the darkest tells of the moral fall of one of the heroes God has listed in his Faith Hall of Fame. The Bible says it came to pass on an evening tide that King David arose from his afternoon nap. Being bored, have mercy, he began walking around on the roof on the upper terrace of the king's palace. As you could well imagine, the palace roof was the highest roof in the city. It had a commanding penthouse view. On this warm Middle Eastern evening, David was looking around with pride at the capital city that bore his name, the city of David. As he surveys the crown jewel of his accomplishments, he notices movement on another roof below. He hears water splashing, and he strains his eyes to catch a glimpse of what's going on. In an instant, David discerns that he is looking at one of the most perfect specimens of the female anatomy he has ever seen in his life. Now, I didn't say that. I wasn't there. But that's what the Bible says. 2 Samuel 11:2 says that the woman was beautiful to look upon. Is that what it says? No. It says she was very beautiful to look upon. Now, this is not David's account of what he saw. This is God's account of what David saw. Now, if God says she was very beautiful to look upon, she must have been something else. The Hebrew literally reads, she was of good appearance exceedingly. Church, right away, David's mind computed, warning, trouble ahead. David knew right away that his eyes were looking at what his mind and flesh couldn't handle. What David didn't know was that while he was watching Bathsheba, the devil and his angels were looking at him. The servant of God says that the adversary of our souls, listen carefully, is not permitted to read the thoughts of men. Satan cannot read your mind. But she tells us that he is a keen observer of your words and actions. He knows the patterns of your heart, and he arranges temptations to meet your situation. He watches and listens so carefully that he knows when your mind begins to wander from contemplation of right and righteousness. And the moment our minds begin to wander, Satan's plan is, she says, in that very moment to do whatever he can to arouse our sinful carnal natures. And then she says, and this is amazing, if every one of us would labor to repress, to push back sinful thoughts that come to our minds, Satan would be defeated. Woo! If we would just work at it, push back the thoughts, giving them no expression, push back those evil feelings, she says, Satan would not know how to prepare temptations for you. Oh, I want to get there. How about you? Well, as David was looking on in Bathsheba, the devil and his angels were checking his pulse rate. They can't read your mind, but they can check your pulse. Are you listening to me? The devil and his angels were taking David's blood pressure, giving him a thorough physical. And right away, they knew they had him. They had never seen David this vulnerable or this excited before. Now, David's first glimpse was accidental, unintentional, not deliberate, unplanned, not premeditated. But as he continued to look at Bathsheba's naked form, in an instant, his looking went from mistake to intentional. Are you with me today? In an instant, David went from oops to looking on purpose. And in God's eyes, it was in that moment that the sin meter started running. Oh, hallelujah. God doesn't charge you with accidental discovery. It's when you move into intention and purpose. Bible says in times of ignorance, he winks. But when we know better, he expects us to repent. David kept looking, and as he kept looking, responsibility for his voyeurism was transferred from the devil to David himself. David alone became responsible for all the events that would follow. Brothers and sisters, how can I say this? The devil may hand you the gun, but you're the one who pulls the trigger. Sometimes you may see things accidentally, but there comes a moment when it goes from an accidental look to an intentional stare. And usually that's where the trouble starts. Poor David's mind was so messed up as he looked at Bathsheba, he couldn't even bring to his mind one of the great psalms and scriptures he had written. Some people would suggest that Bathsheba should bear some of the blame. But Bathsheba was not a temptress. Neither was she an exhibitionist. You know, some of you were born, and I was born, and some of us have been to places in the world where because of poverty and necessity, you can still today see poor people bathing at the side of the road. You're looking like you don't know what I'm talking about, and I know you've seen that in your lifetime. Amen? And perhaps being poor, Bathsheba did not have the luxury of indoor plumbing, of total privacy. Besides, she was not bathing in the middle of the day. She was bathing in the evening, doing what the ceremonial law required. And remember, David saw Bathsheba. Bathsheba never saw David. And as she was bathing, the sun was setting. It was almost dark. David's eyes had to work. Strain to see the little he could see. Bathsheba's inadequate attempts at modesty were no match for the insistent peering eyes of David. And as he stands on the roof, looking on with quiet restraint and pleasure, as the young folks today say, he got an eyeful. But it wasn't enough. He continues to look at Bathsheba. She was going through her private cleansing and ritual, and he's awestruck by her beauty. He watches as Bathsheba dries off, gets dressed. Church, David doesn't miss a frame. Are you with me? I'm talking about one of God's heroes in his faith hall of fame. David's eyes are right there with her, following every graceful move. His flesh cries out for more. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And by the way, you got to say that of women today too, you know. Man is just generic and inclusive. You're getting quiet on me today. Now, David, can I just take my time and preach today? David already had several wives at home. If he wanted an evening of physical pleasure and romance, He had several women to choose from at home. You see, church, and hear me today, a man who cannot be satisfied with one woman will never be satisfied with many. Think about that for a moment now. A man who cannot be satisfied with one woman will never be satisfied with many. A man who cannot be content with one woman will never be content with many. That night, somebody's getting a testimony back there. Amen. That night, David saw Bathsheba as just one more strikingly attractive woman to beautify his growing collection. And he says to his servants, go find out who she is. Report back to me. The servant came back and said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of your good friend and bodyguard, Uriah the Hittite. You see, Uriah was one of David's elite soldiers. When David was running from Saul, Uriah volunteered to be one of the soldiers who rallied around David to protect him, became his bodyguard. Uriah supported David when he was a fugitive. And right there, something inside of David should have said, back up. No way. She's the wife of my friend. I better slow it down, put it in reverse. This man has been loyal to me. I better pull up. Oh, but lust knows no reason, church. Lust short circuits the reasoning powers of the brain. And because of lust, you do foolish things. Lust doesn't last. David says to himself, I don't want another wife, not yet anyway. I sure don't need any long drawn out affair either. One night will do. In the morning, I'll repent, renew my relationship with the Lord. In the morning, she'll belong to Uriah again. But tonight, she'll be mine. We're consenting adults. No one will know. No one will be hurt. After all, I've done so much for this nation. A king deserves a few perks. Lust always deceives. A child once wrote, when you tell one lie, it leads to another. So you tell two lies, trying to cover. Then you tell three lies, and then, oh, my brother, you're in trouble up to your ears. Bathsheba was already married to one of his closest friends, and that should have cooled David right down. But instead, the Bible says David sent for Bathsheba, brought her to his house. She came to him. He was the man of influence, power. He held responsibility. After the night of lust and passion, David returned Bathsheba to her house like a library book he had checked out. Got it back before the penalties and charges. Even in these inflationary times, somebody says, sin still pays the same wages. The wages of sin is still death. A few days later, about a month later, Bathsheba conceived, sent and told David, I'm with child. I'm pregnant. David was frozen with fear. He knew it would be only a matter of weeks before Uriah would be home, and he knew that his friend Uriah knew how to count. Something had to be done fast. So David also knew that the penalty for adultery in Israel was not shame. The penalty of adultery was for both offending parties to be stoned to death. So the more he thought about it, God's telling me, take my time this morning. The more he thought about it, David began to realize the serious implications of those few hours of pleasure. He began to realize that this sin could cost him his marriages, his ministry, his throne, his reputation, even his very life. He realizes too late that the moment he saw Bathsheba bathing, he should have run. But as someone once said, hindsight is 20/20. When David should have been out on the battlefield, he was on the roof, bored. Sin usually starts, church, when you're out of place. Sin usually starts when you're not where you're supposed to be. David was not where he was supposed to be. And often sins of omission are prelude to sins of commission. For David, the sin of omission was he stayed home rather than go to war. He was out of place and he was vulnerable. He was out of place. So young people, when you're supposed to be in school, be in school. When you're out of place, you're vulnerable. Are you with me today? When your mama and daddy send you to a certain place, go there and only there, because when you're out of place, you're vulnerable.
Well, we have to bring our message to an end at this point in time. Of course, it's not finished, and we will have to present the conclusion of this message in another broadcast. I do hope that you will stay tuned for that and watch out for the conclusion in our next program. Actually, we try to program these series so that you will hear part one and part two in successive programs. So stay tuned for part two of the title David and Bathsheba. But if you'd like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. You will want to reference program number 253 today. That's program number 253, which will reference the program entitled David and Bathsheba, and that's part one of this message. We're also very, very appreciative of your prayers, your comments, your kind comments, and your support. I want to take a moment to thank our listeners for that, and we really appreciate those. Continue to keep us in your prayers as we attempt here at The More Abundant Life to bring you good messages and good music through this radio program. I do hope that you will join us again for another program, but until you can, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and I want to wish you, as always, God's richest blessings until you can join us again here at The More Abundant Life. Take care.
Señor.